broadcasting from Angel Fire Lodge and Resort. Great golfing, they say. I think, what was it, $65 or $85 to play around? You saw the sign, Roberta.
$65.
Talking to Roberta Scott, our on-location producer, and we have Karen Dolan with us, which is always a pleasure. And she's a radio host in her own right. And she's not speaking here. You're just watching a symposium for a change, huh?
For a change, yeah. I'm really enjoying it.
And you get to be a spectator instead of... And yes. You drove all the way from New York to be here.
I did. I drove from Western New York, from Rochester. And it took me 2.5 days, and it's absolutely worth it. I love it out here.
Well, that's great. This is the first time out here?
Yes. I've been to New Mexico before,
I've never been to... in Roswell originally,
yeah,
but
and I had
this
been
is
to
a little
Aztec.
Different.
I'd been to northern New Mexico several years ago in Aztec, but I'd never been to Angel Fire before.
Well, I know that you, your last show that you did one of the speakers here, Chris
O'Brien,
yeah.
Yes. He did the first hour with me, and then the organizer, Janet Saylor,
right, so,
was
so
on
so
for the
been
second
pushing
hour.
This place. Now, you're up the road at a haunted hotel.
Yeah, they told me that the hotel was haunted, but then last night at the cocktail party, in fact, which was held at the restaurant next door, and it's owned by the same people, it's all the Laguna Vista, they said that actually the hotel part is not haunted, it's the older building, which is the saloon and the restaurant is. And I was actually very grateful for that because now I can sleep at night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thought you probably was one of the reasons you came out here.
Well, it
since
was.
Since you're very interested in ghosts.
It was. And
situations.
Then, and then I chickened out at the last minute. You know.
You're kind of like me. I told people, no, I'm not affected by that. Then all of a sudden you're by yourself with someplace. And
well, that's just it. You know, since I made the trip alone this time, it would be different if I had somebody in the room with me who I could see. I don't want to have somebody I can't see in the room with me.
Yeah, I understand. So what's interesting you these days? What's got your attention?
Well, something that I'm working on, and actually part of the reason I came here to Angel Fire, is the whole question of paranormal research versus UFO research. And should they be versus each other? Are they, you know, two different topics that should be kept separate? Or are they actually two sides of the same coin? I've been talking with a lot of researchers on both sides lately, and it's surprising how strong everyone's emotions and opinions are on this.
You're absolutely right. A lot of people lump it together. We even do on our website. But you talk to some of these people, they're purists for whatever they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I can see both sides, really. Both sides make good arguments. Mm-hmm. People say, well, how are you supposed to learn new information about something unless you really specialize and focus and don't look at extraneous information? On the other hand, how can you really learn about it if you're excluding half the information that's available? We don't know what's relevant and what isn't at this point, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm one of the people who thinks that it should all be all one big
Well, there's two
field.
Of us here. Otherwise,
okay,
we
great.
Could have a debate.
Yeah. Well, I tried having a debate on my radio show about it. I got Joe Mantello.
That's what I heard. I didn't get. I wasn't able to catch that show, but tell me about that.
Well, I was chatting once with Joe Mantello, who's my producer, and the subject came up, and I said, oh, you know, because he said, oh, those UFO researchers, they got to stay out of paranormal research. Can't be muddying the water with that. And I said, Joe, come on the show with me because I believe the opposite and we could have a really good conversation.
Yeah.
Well, it was a great conversation. He brought up excellent points. But the problem was we found that we agreed a lot more than we had realized we did. You know,
well, I can understand that. In fact, that's even in politics, you know.
Yeah.
You get the far right and the far left, they want to do the same thing but for totally different reasons.
Yeah.
And not always because they're... they're diametrically opposed on some things.
Yeah,
but,
well, if they could get us all health care, I don't care what their reasons are. If they can just accomplish something.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk, why are you interested in the paranormal? I mean, you actually, before you met your husband, Rich Dolan, you hadn't thought about UFOs, I don't think.
No.
I think you told me that.
Yeah, I never... It wasn't that I was not interested in them. Mm-hmm. I never thought about them. I wasn't even aware that they existed until after he started writing his book and told me about them. And he had always been interested in UFOs, but I think not very much in paranormal research. When I was a kid, I was always reading ghost stories and, I was interested in Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster and anything I didn't understand, anything that's a mystery, I thought was just fascinating.
Well, this is a Bigfoot country in many ways.
Yeah, and I've been told there are UFOs. Every night you can see the UFOs, and we've got the haunted hotel and restaurant down the street. I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to seeing some things
well,
this weekend.
Well, I haven't seen a UFO yet, but I've heard the same story.
Well, I looked at the stars last
night. The sky's
night.
Clear enough.
Oh, my God. I could not believe. There could have been 100 UFOs up there, and I wouldn't have seen them. There are so many stars. I'm not used to this.
It's pretty amazing, really, when you get out in this part of the country. Okay, you're here. And driving that distance, you probably saw a lot of things you'd like to have stopped and seen in this field, paranormal and UFO things. You went to Ohio. Have you ever been to Wright-Patterson?
No, I haven't. And I did remember seeing the sign as I came by.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, Rich would like to see that.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really my thing. What I do want to see in Ohio is the Serpent Mound. When I go back, I do plan on
tell our listeners why. You want to see that?
It's another of those anomalies, you know? We know that it's a Native American artifact. It's huge. It's this earthwork. The earth was just mounded up in the shape of this incredibly long serpent. But nobody really knows why. Somebody here said, oh, well, don't we know that that's a Native American burial ground? Well, no, I don't know that. And I've done a little research on it, and what I can find out is that people don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. There's speculation, that it might be a burial ground. But it seems uncommon. I mean, they didn't build these huge serpent-shaped mounds on every cemetery. So what is special about this one? That's what I want to know. And I just want to stand there and see it. You know, I want to actually be there.
What part of the paranormal turns you on the best or most?
That's a really good question, because just about all of it.
When I first started doing shows like this, I basically were just a ghost guy. If you saw some ghosts or whatever.
Yeah, I would say ghosts would have to be pretty close to the top. Since I've started looking into ghost and spirit research, I've met a few people who are interested in demonology, and that I find really fascinating.
And That's an interesting subject and a scary subject in many ways.
Maybe that's it. I like, everybody likes to be scared. Yeah. But I think that's more interesting because it's real. You know, I don't really like going to scary movies. I don't like going to haunted houses, attractions at carnivals and things.
Yeah.
But this is real. And that is scary. And the kind of chill I get from that is fun in a way, but also, it's kind of like it's real, so I should learn about it. We should all know something about it, because there are people who really have to deal with this every day. There are people out there dealing with it.
What do you think really is going on? I mean, we all obviously, or I don't think we do, all come back as ghosts. Maybe we do.
I don't know. I mean, I think there are reasons why some people do.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I believe in reincarnation. I think if all goes as it should be, after death, a spirit might rest for a while and then come back. Because I don't think we learn.
Reincarnation?
Yeah, I don't think we learn everything we're supposed to in one time around. I don't think it's possible.
The only thing about reincarnation, and I'm not saying I don't believe in it, is it's too bad we don't know consciously about some of the previous lives we've had.
But that would make it more like an open book test, and that's almost like cheating. You have to learn your lessons, and if you know what the questions are going to be, it feels like cheating.
Good point.
I know, I wish I did too.
Good point. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Well, but it's just, I mean, every time I look around and I think everybody who's here is here because we've got something to learn. And it's probably different for every one of us. And every person, especially if something bad happens in our lives, we can look at that person and say, okay, maybe my job in this life is to learn forgiveness, or maybe it's to learn acceptance, or just how to roll with the punches, or how to stand up for myself and say, you can't do that. Or maybe to see that I did that to somebody else before, and now I know what it's like. You know, there always has to be some kind of lesson to it.
And when we learn all the lessons, what happens? Maybe we never learn them all.
Well, I think some people do, and from what I can tell, I mean, popular belief is that you can choose to come back and help others learn, or you can choose to be done and not come back anymore and be one with the creative force of the universe, or God, if you choose to call it that, nirvana, whatever that may be. That's...
Well, you're in the heart of Native American legend country here.
Yeah.
Lots of things happening here. What do you make of all that? You just mentioned you're interested in this this burial ground or whatever mm-hmm. it is.
I'd like to try to see why it's special. You know, what was it about that place that made them want to go to all that effort to build this incredibly long serpent-shaped mound? And it's really beautiful. I've seen pictures of it. And, you know, I also believe that every individual has some psychic ability, whether we realize it or not. And I want to just stand on it and see if I can feel anything. And I don't think I'm unusually psychic, but I think I've got the same sensitivity
that anyone does.
That
was going to be my next question.
No, I wish. But no, I don't think I have any more than anyone else, but I think we all do have something. And I think in a place like that, where so much effort has gone into it, and clearly so many people have seen that as a sacred site for such a long time, there might be something there that's strong enough even for someone like me to feel.
Did you see Paul David's lecture this morning?
Yes, I did.
What do you make of that? We have a show about it, or I wouldn't mention it.
Yeah.
And they can find it on our website. And basically, you might tell them what we're talking about here. He thinks it's proof that there is life on the other side.
Well, he got what appears to be definite communication from someone he knows. And, you know, it's almost like the coded messages that Harry Houdini was trying to send. You know, it's real proof that you know that only this person would have said this thing and used the words that he did. I can totally see how Paul would be convinced by that. In fact, I mean, I didn't know the man he was talking about, but I was pretty convinced that sure sounded like the
kind of joke
he would have made.
And I'm not saying I'm not convinced.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's an interesting story. It's part of a documentary he's making, actually.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah,
I remembered Paul telling that story, actually, privately at a UFO conference years ago. So I'm really glad to see that he's worked it up into a presentation and even a documentary.
Paul goes with all of us way back. He's been to all of them again. In fact, I think he went to the first UFO Congress.
Really?
And I think it was in Arizona, of all places. Now it's back.
Now it's going to be in Phoenix again this spring.
And you did some PR for them for a little while.
I did. I was actually on the board of directors.
Yeah.
And I'm still on the advisory board now that it's changed hands.
Yeah,
the
uh-huh.
old board of directors was invited to stay on. And
we always love to go there. We didn't get there the year you were running everything.
running everything.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But it was a very successful and probably will continue to be.
Yeah, well, they've got an amazing bunch of people who had been running it. The Brown family
yes.
is just incredibly professional and knowledgeable. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how Open Minds and the new crew deal with this.
See, I thought maybe the reason you came out here on your own time to investigate this was maybe you and your husband were going to have some sort of conference in New York.
You know, people have asked us to put on conferences.
I'm sure they have.
Well, it's true. We could use something in our part of the country. There's not that much on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't want to lose out on
work.
An excuse to come out west.
Yeah.
It's also a huge financial outlay.
Yeah.
I don't think either of us would mind doing the work. That's doable. But it costs a lot of money to put on one of these conferences.
Yes, it does.
And that's one of the reasons.
Very few make any money.
Exactly. And that's one reason I really like to do all I can to promote the ones that are out there, because it's such a huge undertaking. And, you know, if there's anything I can do to help and to help people at least break even, I'm absolutely
willing to do it. How's your publishing company going?
It's going very well. Rich has another new book coming out shortly, one that is called After Disclosure. And it's about what will the world be like once everybody has to admit that UFOs are real, that they're here. Deal with it. You know, this is our life now. And that's about to go to the printer probably within the next day or two. So it'll be back in a few weeks.
Well, you guys turn your books around pretty fast.
Well, this is Rich's fastest, I think. And he's co-authored it with Bryce Zabel, who
uh-huh.
is the executive producer
of
Dark
Bryce
Skies.
And
they did it in like 6 months or so. I think they started last spring.
Yeah, and Bryce and his movie project, are you involved in that?
No. No, yeah,
it's
I wish.
That sounds very interesting, right?
It does. I can't wait to see that.
You got anything else you'd like to bring up? We've got to move along. We've got a lot of people here.
Oh, gosh. I
of course, listen to you on Friday nights.
Yeah. Well, not. I won't be live tonight.
No, but usually she's live.
But, yes, Through the Keyhole normally airs live on Friday nights.
I know you use the chat room. Do you ever take phone calls?
We can take phone calls. I've had one or two come in, but not very many. Usually
well,
people come in the chat room.
Some of the, I think sometimes the producer's not watching the phone personally. I don't mean
well,
that in a
yeah, I don't know.
He's very busy.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Because you handle the, I've heard you talk to people on the phone, and you handle them very well.
Oh, thank you.
And,
I finally.
In fact, you do your show quite well. I remember when you first started.
Oh God, more than 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm in my fourth year now.
And your topics. What are you concentrating on? Basically, paranormal things.
I still try to do a wide range of UFO and paranormal topics, and I believe up until now, this might be changing now because we just got a few new shows added to the network, but for a long time, I know that my show was the only one that covered both. Everyone else either focused on paranormal research or UFOs.
Karen Dolan, it's always a pleasure seeing you.
Well, thank you so much, Jerry.
And when you go back, you're too far north. You're in Kansas. You got to come through Oklahoma to see us.
Well, we'll have to.
Now the panhandle where you went, that's not like where we live. We got it's more like Rochester.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's not why I just wasn't on the way to Angel Fire. But hey, there's an excuse for another road trip, right?
Right.
Just have to
right.
come down again.
Come by and see us. Karen Dolan, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
I'm Jerry Pepin. Don't go away. If you are a UFO show buff, can't get enough UFO programming, we suggest you go to our UFOshowstogo.com website regularly. Bookmark us. We put all of our UFO programming there as a link. It's easy to find. Simply go to UFOshowstogo.com. It's available as a podcast, MP3, or Windows Media downloads. Either way, listen or download. We do our best to give you the latest in UFO news.